The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take a minute to introduce Sophie Tran, who is going to play our opening song, our prelude by Carly Simon, Haven't Got Time for the Pain. Sophie Tran. Nicely done, Sophie. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. One of the lines from that song Carly Simon said, and I would sing it to you, but my voice, I just, you know, I'm not sure about that, but it says, she says, you showed me how to fill my heart with love, how to open up and drink in all that white light pouring down from the heaven. Visualize that, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. You are never alone. It is okay to be tired of change. It is okay to be tired of everything different. Okay to feel weary of resiliency and wholeness and learning and growth, and okay to yearn simply for rest. It's okay to be grouchy and unsatisfied and all the ordinary human ways of being that we are. Let this morning be a reminder that you are loved. Let our time together soothe what is restless in you. May you be comforted in knowing that whatever you are feeling today and other days, you are not alone. You are never alone. Come, let us worship together. I am Cindy Westfall, a member of TPUF, a member of the worship committee, and a member of the care team. And we are going to take you, my friends and I are going to take you on a little journey. Welcome to those of you who are new to our fellowship as well. You are always welcome here with us. So we are going to do the lighting of the chalice.
May the light we now kindle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse, to serve you, Spirit of Freedom. That's a Passover Haggadah. Apologies.
And we're also going to light the peace lamp. May peace be with you.
Our
day of lighting the Advent candle.
Yes. Yeah. May this light remind us to hold on to hope for what is good and to actively seek peace in our lives and in the world around us. Let the growing light inspire us toward kindness and patience. God of all names, source of all life, help us see our shared humanity. Let us replace hate with love, division with unity, and violence with forgiveness. May we be agents of hope and peace for ourselves, our communities, and our wider world. Amen, shalom, namaste, amen, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Sheila. Today is also, December is our UU theme is hope. And so last month we talked about gratitude, and this month we're going to talk about hope, and we're going to talk about hope and the hope for peace. Today is also December 7th, it's Pearl Harbor Day, and it's a day of remembrance for those many people that fought for our freedom as we were dragged into World War II, unwillingly, but we were brought into World War II, and so our people, our veterans fought back and assured an ongoing peace. So let's remember them as we move on today. And now we're going to have our opening hymn. If you feel so inclined, if the Spirit moves you, you may stand up or you may sit down, and we'll sing Let Hope and Sorrow Unite.
Friends now come.
need the book. So Sheila is going to read our book today for, do we have any children? Well, we're all children at heart, so.
Once Upon a Robin, a story of hope for children, written by Lois Nelson Smith and illustrated by Hannah Scheel. The dedication says to M, A, N, and A, the little girls who taught me to read books, and it's initialed by Lois Nelson Smith. Once upon a robin came hopping to my door. Oh, look, it must be springtime, I said, for I was sure a robin hopping by my door meant springtime was close by. But then the robin disappeared, hopped, 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 and she began to fly. Oh no, I said, the robin's gone. But what I could not see was robin had flown up to build a nest inside the tree. I did not see the robin, perhaps she'd gone away. Robin, robin, where are you? I'd look outside and say. March was filled with windy days and April days had rain. Where was springtime? Where was robin? Would they come again? With coats and hats, umbrellas and boots, spring seemed far away. And then the sun came out. The days were warm. We'd go outside to play. One day, I looked up to the sky. What a surprise to see little blue eggs in a little brown nest on a branch of our little tree. And there was Robin next to the nest, watching over the little blue eggs. And soon there were baby robins with beaks and wings and legs. They were flipping and flapping and flying from the nest to the soft grassy ground. They were happily hopping, chirping and cheeping, bobbing and bouncing around. Hooray, I said as the robin hopped to my door again. Springtime is here, the robins are near, and now I will say the end. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. Song of Solomon.
Do you want to sing it? Is anybody leaving? Stay now in peace. So our theme for December is hope, and that's fitting with the Advent. We have hope for peace and hope for joy. I'm hoping for a white Christmas. Don't kill me, but I would really like a white Christmas this year. No, Joanne. No. I think as I was getting ready to do this service, Hope Springs Eternal kept popping into my mind. And I was like, where does that come from? And Preston reminded me that it comes from a poem by Alexander Pope in the 1700s, I believe it was 1735 he wrote it. And it's a line in the poem. His poem is titled, An Essay on Man. Heaven from all creatures hides the book of fate, all but the page prescribed their present state. From brutes what men, from men what spirits know, or who could suffer being here below. The lamb thy riot dooms to bias to bleed today, had he thy reason, would he skip and play? Pleased to the last, he crops the flowery food and licks the hand just raised to shed his blood. On, oh, blindness to the future kindly given, that each may fill the circle marked by heaven. Who sees with equal eye, as God of all, a hero perish or a sparrow fall? Atoms or systems into ruin hurt, and now a bubble burst, and now a world. Hope humbly then, with trembling pinions sore, wait the great teacher death and God adore. What future bliss he gives not thee to know, but gives that hope to be thy blessing now. Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. The soul uneasy and confined from home rests and expatriates in a life to come. Lo, the poor Indian whose untutored mind sees God in clouds or hears him in the wind, his soul proud science never taught to stray far as the solar walk or Milky Way. Yet simple nature to his hope has given behind the cloud-topped hill and humbler heaven, some safer world in depth of woods embraced, some happier island in the watery waste, where slaves once more their native land behold, no fiends torment, no Christians thirst for gold. To be contents his natural desire, he asks no angel's wing, no seraph's fire, but thinks admitted to that equal sky. So, what he's saying to us, in a nutshell, Alexander Pope, and with the caveat that there's some less than enlightened and woke, if you will, caveats in this poem, right? But in a nutshell, he in his 1700s mind was saying to us that it is in human nature to hope, that even in the most horrific of times, we hope. What has gotten us through so many battles, what has makes us jump out of bed in the face of darkness, grief, sorrow, and tragedy is hope. And so we hope. And you will hear some people say, I hope and pray. I hope and pray for a white Christmas. I hope and pray for world peace. I hope and pray for peace internally. Prayer is a tool we use to realize our hope. There are many who use prayer, intention, the words, prayer, intention, visualization, and meditation interchangeably. Indeed, prayer / intention is hope in action. So there are some books that we've read through the years. Shaki Gawan, are we familiar with her? Creative Visualization. It's a very old book, came out in the 80s. It's a very good book on how we visualize our peace and our healing. In this season of Advent, of waiting with hope for peace, we may find ourselves bowing our heads in prayer for peace, visualizing world peace. We're working in our chosen life's activities with intention of good, peace, and love. So many years ago, probably more than 30 years ago, I was doing a lot of research and reading on complementary medicine and integrative medicine. I actually became certified to teach people visualization to get them ready for surgery. And one of the things I came across in reading was a physician by the name of Larry Dossey, MD, who is an internal medicine physician, a researcher, and an author of many books on prayer and positive patient outcomes. He's a well-known physician, researcher, and author of more than 13 books, who for decades has researched prayer and intention. The interesting thing is when you hear him now, 30 years ago he's talking about prayer, now he talks about intention, because intention is more of a global, general term, which encompasses those things such as prayer, intention, visualization. Reverend Andrew last week was talking to us about practice makes permanent, right? So he was talking to us about being grateful and practicing gratitude and being grateful. Norman Vincent Peale, we know, power of positive thinking. If you have positive thoughts, you will have a positive life. That's the theory anyway. And I'm throwing a lot of information at you, but the one thing I did want to do is read some quotes from Larry Dossey. He was interviewed at the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, their annual conference in 2018. In San Diego, and they interviewed him about his work and his research, because he actually did double-blind studies over test tubes, not people, but test tubes. One of his very well-known research was he had a group of people praying for biological changes in a group of test tubes, and then he had a control group, test tubes that weren't prayed over. And these studies were replicated. So the interviewer says to him, where is the link between consciousness and spontaneous healing, and how does that play out? And Dr. Dossey said, I've written several books about the basic research in this field, and here's what we know. You can take these phenomena into the lab, and the experiments in both human and non-human, such as mice, rats, and even bacteria, in which people use their intentions. You'll notice he doesn't say prayer anymore. He used to say prayer, but he says now, intentions, thoughts, will, and wishes to make biological changes in these living entities and using controls. So the control group is the group that's not being preyed on or having positive intentions around. Working with non-humans is interesting to me because he goes on to say, because they're not subject to the placebo response, the effects of positive thinking. That is, you believe somebody is praying for you, and so you do better because you believe that people are praying for you. He cites, for example, around 10 replicated studies, that is research that were done again and again with same or similar results. In academic institutions across the country, William Bengston, PhD, he's an evolving sociologist in New York City, and he attempted to cure mammary cancer in a group of mice. So they took a group of 30 mice in one group, and then a group of 30 mice in the control group. They implanted mammary cancer into both groups, and then one group had healing intentions. They were prayed for with healing intentions. Most of the treated mice were cured, and in the group that was prayed for, most of them were cured. In the group that was not, had no healing interventions, they all died. They all succumbed to the mammary cancer. He goes on to say, healing intentions appear to work at a distance as well. There are universities in this country in medical where they actually have people going into the cath lab that have, for lack of a better word, prayer groups who are doing healing intentions for them. And then another group that's not getting prayed for, not having healing intentions around them. The interviewer then asks him, how does the concept of intention contrast with spirituality, right? And Dr. Dossey says, it's ambiguous. That's a typical physician response in my experience. The reason I say that is because, he goes on to say, is because the healers are somewhat inconsistent in their explanations of how healing happens. Most of them say that they function as a kind of conduit between a higher power and what it is they're trying to affect. So that is, to explain that, that is, I am channeling God's healing light to make you better, get rid of your COVID infection. A kind of go-between, if you will. But a smaller number of healers claim that they themselves are the source of the influence. An example of that is Reiki healers, where they do hands-on. Actually, they do hands above. There's also therapeutic touch. So he goes on to say, if I had to specify one trait, and this is important, to me it's important, maybe not to him, that appears present in perhaps all healers, it is anyone? What do you think that one trait is? Love. It's love. Yeah. Caring deeply for the object of one's healing intentions. And he goes on to say, I think loving intention is hugely important, and I believe it's important to keep this domain as secular as we possibly can. That is, that it does not belong to any religion, right? So Bankston, to go back to him, he continues to do his research, and he recruits, to make it really, really a controlled study, he recruits college students to do the healing procedures in the laboratory on the mice transplanted with the cancer. He selects, do you think he selects spiritual, religious people? No. He selects non-believing, skeptical, non-religious, agnostic students who have a standoff attitude toward this stuff from the get-go. In spite of this, or maybe because of it, if they are following the procedures that are dictated to them, and that is healing intentions, if they follow these procedures that he instructs them in before they go in to start these healing intentions, they get formidable positive results replicated again and again. So, you guys are saying, well, why exactly are you talking to me about this today? And I think I don't know how this came from the poem, the Alexander poem, but it seemed a natural revolution, or I'm sorry, not revolution, but evolution, that we talk about how we practice healing intentions, how we practice positive thoughts, how we practice gratitude. Because we know that even in the most horrific of times, we do hope. Very rarely do I see people in my own experience in despair. There are people in despair. Despair is the opposite of hope. But most people remain hopeful, even people with the most grave conditions. I would say to you, prayer / intention, we're going to use those words interchangeably, is a tool we use to realize our hope. It's a tool. There are many who use prayer, intention, visualization, and meditation interchangeably, those words. But I would say to you that meditation is distinctly different from the other three. Prayer and intention and visualization are very active, right? And meditation is very quiet. Some people say, actually, one of our speakers this summer was our yoga instructor. She mentioned that in prayer and intentions, you do the talking, and in meditation, you do the listening. But for sure, meditation is when we stay quiet and calm, and a lot of times that's how we center ourselves before we do our visualization and our intentions, right? So, food for thought. We know optimists live longer than pessimists. That's researched. We know 10 years longer. Norman Vincent Peale, Power of Positive Thinking. People who are positive thinkers are more successful in life. We know that. And whatever we do over and over is what becomes practice, as Reverend Andrew talked about last week. So in this time of the year, it's easy to feel negative feelings come into us, into our brains. Not enough, I'm not doing enough. I've got so much to do. Negative intentions and feelings can come, negative thoughts can come into our minds. And I would say to you to let them go. thank them for coming. Thanks for coming. And now you can go. And replace them with a positive thought, a positive intention of how you want the world to be. I also think that prayer and intention are distinctly different from visualization, because visualization is really active thought processing, where you're imaging, imagining a light. When I was working with people through the years, getting them ready for surgery and using visualization, we would get them very relaxed and then visualize a healing light. And you can show people how to do that. And then when they do that, I always ask them, well, what color is the light? Because it's always interesting. I always use a white light, but not everybody uses a white light. Some people use a pink light or a turquoise light or a blue light. That is a light of healing, of peace. In this season of hope and waiting, let us remember that we can affect positive change in the world through intention, visualization, and prayer. Even our work, what you guys are doing in your work, for instance, in the shelter, in our organizing our protests, there's intention in that. That's good, positive intention. I don't think there's negative intention in that, right? It's positive intention, it's resistance. It's let's bring out the positive in our lives so we can battle what we perceive to be the negative. God bless you. So this is a season of intentional waiting, Advent, as we were talking about earlier. And what are we waiting for? You know, the Christians are waiting for Jesus to come. The pagans are waiting for the light to become longer, right? People wait for world peace. People wait for healing. And I would say that for me, this time of year is a time to be patient and with myself and others, and trust and hope and prayer, visualizing our gratitude, visualizing what we know we can affect in this world with our positive thoughts, with our healing light. I would like to take a moment for you guys to, before we get into matters of the heart, I would like to ask you to close your eyes, find a comfortable place, take a deep breath in and out, and feel a deep letting go. Relax, feel that relaxation come from your head, top of your head, all the way down through your face to your neck, your shoulders, your chest. Breathe in relaxation and breathe out and feel a deep letting go. And when you feel ready, visualize a light, a healing light deep within your chest. Feel the relaxation move slowly down through the rest of your body, and feel the healing light radiate from your heart through your body, a warm, loving, healing light. And you can direct that light to whomever or wherever you would like to direct that light. And when you're ready, slowly open your eyes, feeling refreshed, relaxed, and ready to meet the day. You can do this at home too. It's easy to do. In fact, you can find healing meditations on your phone. Just Google healing meditations and they can get you really relaxed, and then you visualize what you want to be and what you want to do going forward. So now we're gonna do Matters of the Heart. I'm Cindy Westfall, a member of the CARE team. Each Sunday, we set a time for a special ritual, an action that speaks to a larger truth. The truth is that you are important, that your life matters, and that this community cares about you. Even you who don't know anyone here, if we have any new guests. That is the deeper truth, which we witness to by inviting anyone who has a heavy heart or a joyous heart to share. If you have something which overflows and must be shared, you'll have the opportunity to come up and share it with us to lighten the load, to lighten the burden that it might be. This is a time to share for all of us. So when you come up to share your joys or sorrows, please state your name and speak into the microphone over there. And if you're online, raise your virtual or physical hand and you will be unmuted.
We should be able to call this time of sharing to a close. We will get to Spirit of Life, but first things first. Anne?
So I have a prayer for us today. Spirit of life and love, come and rest upon us, within us, for these few moments of calm. Quiet our striving and allow us a time for breath, for silence, a time to let go of all longings and desire. May we simply be here without worry or wish. In the quiet of our hearts, pour in peace. Not only the absence of striving, not only the absence of conflict, but the fullness of peace that may be. Peace embodied in how we treat each other, into the world in compassion and care, shown in the world by acts of justice and of mercy. Peace. Know by the safety of children and those who are vulnerable. Peace created by each of the earth's children within and beyond, building a web that links each to all to the boundaries of all that is. Into our hearts, pour this presence of peace, we pray. Spirit of love and of life, thou who animates our lives. The world in its trouble and chaos cries out for the blessing of peace. May we be those who draw together the threads of peace, found in the beauty of the earth that surrounds us, found in common and simple acts of kindness and compassion that fill the world. May we draw together the threads of peace and weave them. Weave peace for our weary, beloved world. In the quiet of these moments, may we open our hearts to the presence of peace.
Thank you.
Remember Christine standing up here last week or the week before saying that she was nervous about travel, so she conquered it. That's Hope Springs Eternal, is doing things that aren't always comfortable for us, and stretching beyond our limits. That's hope in action as well. And for us, these somewhat dark times, when we listen to the news, even Reverend Andrew was talking about doom scrolling when he gets up in the morning last week. We have choices to make, right, in the mornings when we get up. And I think it's easy for me to just sit there and watch that news and get really upset. I would just ask that we remember that we have a choice to turn off the doom scrolling, to turn off the news, to listen to the good and the good stories that are out there. And remember that we are, I believe, the majority of our fellow humans are good people. And sometimes we forget that, but the hope is what keeps us coming back for more, for sure. So as we extinguish this flame, but not the truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we meet again. One more hymn we'll sing is hymn 161, Peace the Perfect World. I think I picked some really difficult hymns this week, so bear with me. 161.
Peace the perfect world.
We're going to listen to Sophie instead. Sorry about that.
We switched it up a little bit.
I only did this twice.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to Linda also, who always makes our order of service look better than the way we presented it to her out of the gate. And I'd also like to thank Sophie and Emily Tran for the prelude and the postlude. Thanks, Sophie.